This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. This week, WVXU, in partnership with WCPO Digital, is reporting on the business of water in the region in a series called Liquid Assets. You can read more about it on our website at WVXU.org. You'll find links there also to WCPO's site. And at 6:30 and 8:30 every morning this week, we'll have some special features. In our final segment of Cincinnati Edition today, my guests are WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner and Jim Huber, who's principal at City Logix, a local company founded in 2009 that does research and engineering in the water and wastewater industry. You can join the conversation by calling us 513-419-7100. You can email us talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Let's just start by telling folks a little bit more about City Logix and what it is that you do.
Sure. City Logix is a startup company. We're based in Northern Kentucky. We are basically developing, I think the best way to say it is a flight simulator for urban water systems. Okay. The folks that operate urban water systems, you know, there's 3,000 miles of pipe just in the city of Cincinnati alone, dozens of pumps and tanks, information coming back to control rooms, and they have no way right now to predict the effects of their actions. And they're trying to save energy and meet regulations. So we provide those new eyes for them that they didn't have before through software.
Can you elaborate on that? Exactly how does what you do provide the answers they need?
Sure. Well, first of all, utilities are pretty sophisticated in many respects. They have a lot of information resources to draw on. They have these database systems that collect this information that I just referred to, all sorts of operational variables. It goes into a control room where it comes on a screen and then kind of goes away into a database. They also have models of their entire infrastructure, all the stuff underground that they use for planning purposes. What we do is to join those two sources of information together, linking those models with this real-time information that makes them current and then allows them to predict if you turn a pump on, what's going to happen? If a pipe breaks and we have to valve that off, what are the effects of that?
And how did you get into this area?
Well, my partners, Stu Hooper, Sam Hatchett, and I have our roots in research. And, you know, I've been a professor at University of Cincinnati for quite some time. And I've worked with both of those guys and others on the research realm. And we just decided, you know, we had a conversation one time and said, you know, this stuff is either just going to stay forever in journals and reports, or we're going to take the opportunity and make something happen by being entrepreneurial. And that was a key decision on our part to go ahead and do that. And along the way, it's required a lot of local support from organizations like Confluence, from UpTech in Northern Kentucky, who gave us sort of critical investment to bridge a gap that we had, and also gave us the opportunity to learn more about the business side, because we kind of come at things from a technical perspective. So, you know, it was really one of those decisions that you make on faith, and we're here because of the support of the community.
How's it going so far? I mean, do you feel like you're being successful, or are you still in that startup stage?
We're definitely a startup company, but yeah, we feel really positive about the future. In part because we've had success, and we have two great water utilities in town: Northern Kentucky Water District and Greater Cincinnati Waterworks, who you just talked to before this. So we're working with both of them as clients. We've had that opportunity to get the support from UpTech. We recently won a $150,000, what's called a Small Business Innovative Research Grant from the National Science Foundation, which is intended to bridge that huge gap between research and commercialization. So, you know, we're paying the bills. We're able to have this golden opportunity to develop our product and tested in the field with state-of-the-art water utility partners. And, you know, if we're successful after that, it'll be because of all of that effort.
We talk a lot this week, and in our research for reporting on this, the thing that kept coming up was this region is being called the Silicon Valley of Water Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned all the resources that you've used here. Do you really feel like you could be successful other places, or is it really, would you agree with the idea that Cincinnati is the place to be with all of the...
I definitely agree with that. It passes the smell test. Mm. It is very believable, just like it's believable that Cincinnati can be the branding capital of the world. It's because of all the resources, the Procter & Gamble and Kroger and others and Macy's. We just have resources here in terms of industry, in terms of government. The US EPA has had that major research lab since the 70s. We have the University of Cincinnati and other university resources, so in terms of education and research. And now you have Confluence as an organization that's, in one sense, sort of trying to brand all of that and allow us to talk about it, like on this radio program, as something that might be like the Silicon Valley of water. So I think it's believable. I think that it can. It's the kind of thing that can cause people and other places to want to come to Cincinnati as a good place to grow and start a company in that sector.
How do you, as a business owner, when you go to conferences and things, how do you encourage others to come to this area, or do you?
Well, I think, it's pretty natural, actually. It's no surprise when we go to the conferences and the annual meetings that we go to for other people to find people from Cincinnati. That's something that wouldn't be appreciated if you're not in the industry, but people are used to seeing folks from Cincinnati Water Works, from Northern Kentucky Water District, from the US EPA, from the University of Cincinnati, from all of the local industries and consulting organizations that exist here in the Cincinnati area. So it's not really, honestly, a very hard sell. So I probably don't do a real conscious, aggressive job about it. It's pretty natural.
Would you like to see other small businesses start up in this field? I mean, do you think that you're going to see more and more of that as you've talked about this whole Silicon Valley of water thought? Do you anticipate that a lot more business is going to come because of water?
I do. There's no doubt that more and more money is going to be spent nationally, regionally, nationally, and globally on water infrastructure and water resources as time goes on. We have been for quite some time not really paying the bills for our water resources and water infrastructure. You combine that in some areas of the U.S. and certainly globally with water shortage issues. The population is continuing to increase. Urbanization is continuing to increase. So more and more people are living in cities. We're going to have to upgrade this infrastructure. We're going to have to learn how to do it smarter because we have to be efficient. And the areas that do that better are going to have a natural advantage. So I would love to see more companies come into the area. We view ourselves as CityLogix as being kind of at the confluence, to use that word in a different context, of informatics and sort of water supply engineering. I'd love to have a good-natured competition in that area because the space is very, very big enough to play in.
We have a question from a caller who says he has two teenage sons and he wants to know where he can get them information on careers in water engineering and technology.
Oh, well, the folks at the University of Cincinnati there, I'm in the environmental engineering program there. We have a brand new environmental engineering undergraduate degree that has historically been at the graduate level. And the environmental engineering program there is in the School of Engineering, or the College of Engineering, rather. Call them up and arrange for a tour. Attend the environmental engineering tours, and they'll have a lot of information about possible career opportunities and also, how you bridge that gap to get to those career opportunities.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email your questions, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter.
And you mentioned that you're in the UC department, but so it doesn't just sound like a commercial for UC. UC has had a long history in water technology and research. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the university has had a long history in that. That goes back, I wasn't here in the 1970s. I was a kid in high school then. But, I do believe, because of my knowledge of, I've been here since 1990, the reason for the existence of the UC Environmental Engineering Program, why it is as large as it is, it's about a dozen faculty members, which is a large program of that type, is because of the US EPA across the street. It was no real big decision to see a large government lab going in across the street and you deciding that you needed to respond to that. And that grew the research area of emphasis in water and air and land resources, and it's been that way for three decades.
Earlier in the program, we had Alan Vickery from Confluence on talking about some of the work that his organization is doing. And one of the things was the idea of getting rid of some of the government red tape and trying to make all the states work together, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana. Would you say with City Logic, you've had any difficulties with government red tape and bureaucracy as you're trying to do your work?
With City Logics, we haven't. There's a lot of barriers for every single new startup company. Fortunately, the regulatory barrier is not one that we've had to deal with. And the reason for that is both good news and bad news for City Logics. The reason for that is because what we do is not something that is currently done and not something that is currently regulated. So we don't have the regulatory red tape to worry about. What we have to do is to prove the quantitative benefits of what we do for the water utilities, because they're not going to spend money on something that they can't tell their board is going to actually give them payback.
What's the most exciting part of water technology for you personally?
So selfishly, it's being able to work with my partners, Stu Hooper and Sam Hatchett, and great folks at Cincinnati Water and Northern Kentucky Water District. It is so much fun to be able to have the opportunity to, in our case, create innovative software and test it. It's like a big toy. We don't regard it that way, but we just have a blast every day solving problems, trying to get things to work. The hardest thing that we've had to deal with, honestly, is figuring out this issue of how do we quantify the benefits of what we do? And we're just so lucky, again, to have the folks at Cincinnati Water and Northern Kentucky Water District to actually work with us. You know, we're applying our technology in the field now, today. And that's an opportunity that I just don't know how you are successful in the kind of business that we're trying to create otherwise.
You have said that you are paying the bills and you feel that you're doing relatively well. How would you define success? Where do you want to see your company in a couple of years?
Well, we want to change the water industry. And what I mean by that is, you know, for the better, obviously. One of the main issues that the water industry has to deal with is there's a natural built-in risk aversion for a lot of good reasons. You know, imagine trying to fly a jet airplane without ever stepping in a flight simulator. You would do it very gingerly, probably. So when they're trying to respond to new regulations, when they're trying to do things differently, when they're trying to work out issues with Duke Energy and energy providers to save costs, it's difficult for them to do things differently because it's so much more established to do things how they have done because it has worked that way. So, I just really value the opportunities to be able to go forward and engage in those kinds of activities.
How long do you think it will take before you feel that you're not a startup anymore? I mean, is this a 5-year process, a 10-year process?
I would say, you know, things are changing really rapidly. We're a world of difference from where we were a year ago, and I'm sure there will be a world of difference a year from now. So it is difficult to predict. We're still in a very, tenuous situation, as, you know, a lot of startups are, most startups, every startup, I don't know, in our position. But I would say, we definitely have plans to grow over the next year. Our product is formally coming out in January. We have an industry roundtable webinar scheduled for 2 weeks with some early adopters and prospective clients in the industry. So, you know, every single new client that we add is kind of a step change for us. And what we are trying to do and our plan is to build a group of a dozen, two dozen water utilities who are actively using our product, develop the experiences and tell those stories. And once we do that, then growth will accelerate to a new plane. Whether that takes 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, I don't know, but I think it's in that realm.
Are you looking to stay in the U.S. or are you looking to go international?
Oh, we'll definitely go international. There's no doubt. We're not going to go there first because For all the reasons that I talked about, it's just so advantageous to work with the good folks that we have here. But the opportunities internationally in Asia and China and South Korea are huge.
How so?
Well, I mean, China is building new cities.
so that's easy.
Exactly.
They need water.
So you just don't have... In the U.S., we are expanding cities. Sometimes we're contracting. We're having to renew infrastructure. The opportunity to build something from the ground up is a different opportunity.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been really my pleasure.
We've been talking today about the business of water as part of our Liquid Assets series, a partnership between WVXU and WCPO Digital. My guests for our final segment were WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner and Jim Huber, principal at CityLogix, a local company founded in 2009 that does research and engineering in the water and wastewater industry. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.